thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I was at the beach a couple weeks ago, and why is it when people go to the beach, they will wear things that they would not wear at home? Why is that? Why is that that people will wear certain things at the beach? I was amazed when I was at the beach. I was just amazed that people were wearing things that they probably would not wear at home. And I thought, there's probably all kinds of reasons. Probably nobody knows me, and maybe they throw off restraint. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's true that you can go to the beach and you can see people wear things at the beach that they would probably never wear anywhere else. Why is it that we come to church and we cover up things we should let other people see? You know, we have it backwards sometimes. You know, we go places and we let things show that we probably shouldn't let show. And then the place where we come, where we should let things show, we cover it up. You know, it's part of what that song was talking about. You know, if you go places where you think everybody's got it together and nobody's got problems and everybody's got a perfect life, it's really hard to live in that world. It's hard to live in a world that you create that you think is based on perfection. It's absolutely not true. And I think one of the things that I've appreciated about this series, Faith Forward, is that when we read about Bible characters who were great in the eyes of God, no greater than you, by the way, but who were great in the eyes of God, we're able to read between the lines and right in the black and white of the Word, see that God revealed the things that really needed to show. And sometimes we wonder, God, why did you allow that to be seen? And probably the reason that God allowed it to be seen is because there's certain things that need to be seen in church that we're covering up. Can we just stop doing that? Can we just stop doing that and allow God to move by His Spirit the way that He would really want to move and really want to work in our lives? It takes somebody that's willing to be courageous, and it takes somebody that's willing to take a risk. But if not me, who? And I thought, if people could unashamedly uncover what should be covered, why shouldn't we boldly reveal what we've been hiding? Does that make sense? And so I want us, as we look at God's Word tonight, I want us to learn something, and I titled this message, From Certainty to Insecurity. And I titled it that for a reason. When God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, we would consider him, by today's standards, aged. We would consider him at least middle age at the age of 75. And God came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to do these amazing things, and I've got this amazing plan for you. And with certainty, he stepped out. And with certainty, he started on the journey that God had called him to. But as you read and you begin to read from Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 16 primarily tonight, you begin to see some insecurities come out. In Abraham, the great hero of faith that we have over 300 scriptures about, you begin to see the insecurities come out. So if Abraham went from certainty to insecurity, it's probable and highly likely that that has happened to us in our lives and may be happening even right now. The question is, are you covering it up or are you just going to let it all hang out? I suggest that you just let it all hang out. I suggest that you just let it be seen for what it is. And like I said just a few minutes ago, just choose to let it be fertilizer so that for the future there can be fruit produced from what we've gone through. I was thinking about my life, and I actually probably do a lot of recharging. I'm probably primarily an extrovert, I would say. But I do a lot of recharging doing introverted things. I do a lot of recharging by being by myself. And that's probably one of the reasons that I'm up so early, because it's just me and God, and I'm up early, and I do a lot of recharging at times like that. And I was thinking about my own life, and I was thinking about the times when I probably experienced the greatest growth, if I would look back. Not just trying to figure it out from today, but if I would look back, I would say probably the greatest seasons of growth were the tween times. Not the mountaintops and not the valleys, but the tween, the in-between times. It's those in-between times where we may think something insignificant is happening in our lives, but there's something very important that's happening during those in-between times. And if we don't learn to capture that, we can very easily do like Abraham did. We can go from the certainty of the calling that God has placed on our lives, I am a son of God and I'm certain of that. We can go from that into living in insecurity, and if not careful, being paralyzed by insecurity. So I want us to dive into the Word, and I want to remind us of a few things that that I said when we kicked this series off 6 or 7 weeks ago. Like a good movie, like a good play, the story of the book of Genesis is filled with plots and subplots. It's filled with characters, interesting characters, challenging characters, characters that are hard to understand, characters where you question their motives and their agendas, and then there's these characters that you champion, and it's not unlike life. Like a good mystery novel, life is that way often. It's filled with mystery and uncertainty and the perils and the pressures of wondering what tomorrow holds. And so as we dive into this, think about your real life journey, just like Abraham's real life journey. There came a time when you were called, and you heard the certainty of that call, and you knew that you knew that you knew that God had called you. And along the way, depending on what you faced, the forks in the roads, the trials, the pressures, the tribulations, there were probably seasons, and maybe even a season today, of insecurity. And if we don't identify that, and we become paralyzed by that, will not fulfill all that God wants to do in our lives. So I want to start by looking at Genesis chapter 13. A lot of scripture on your outline tonight, and we're going to read it all because I want to try to put some of this into context, and I hope you've been reading. Our topic and our study, Faith Forward, really starts us in Genesis 12, 13, and is going to end in Genesis chapter 22 in a few weeks, 6 or 7 weeks it's going to end. But there's so much to dig out and mine from the Scripture. So let's dive in here. Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. So remember, Abram's already been called. He's certain of the call. God said, I want you to go. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to bless the world through you. So here we are in Genesis chapter 13, a little bit into his journey. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot and he had parted, lift up your eyes from where you are and look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. All the land that you will see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring, this is pretty specific, he's talking to Abraham, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you. That's a pretty sure word from the Lord. God has called Abram, and he said, I want you to go on, I'm going to make you a blessing. And then a little bit further, he begins to unlock a little bit of the truth of how that's going to happen. I'm going to bless you, and your offspring, Abraham's 75, probably 80 years old now, your offspring is going to be like the dust or the sand on the seashore, that it could not even be counted. So God is planting seeds intentionally in Abraham's mind for a reason, and it's during the in-between times. I submit to you today that God works the very same way. During the in-between times of life, not the highs and not the lows, God is intentionally planting seeds, seeds that are going to produce in the future, but if we don't allow those seeds to be fertilized and watered, then we can move from certainty to insecurity very quickly. So God knew exactly what he was doing by saying these things to Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. Do you know that? We've been grafted in. We're part of the seed. So 10,000s upon 10,000s of people, however many billions there have been since Abraham, we're in the direct lineage of what God said in Genesis chapter 13. We're part of that. So God is doing this intentionally because God knows that Abraham is going to battle with some insecurity. Do you know that God knows that there's going to be times in your life when you're going to battle with insecurity? He already sees it. He already knows it's coming in the future. So in the wisdom of God, in the in-between times, he's going to plant seeds like he did with Abraham. Abraham, Your offspring is going to be like this. You know what I don't see in the Bible? I don't see Abraham asking any questions at this time. He's just receiving it from God and saying, okay, God, if you said it, I believe it. No questions. He's just going on in faith. But as we learn and as we get a little bit further, Abraham's going to face a dilemma. And we face dilemmas. There's times in life, in our spiritual journey, where we face dilemmas. And it's during those times that the enemy wants to move us from the certainty of our faith forward into insecurity. Because when we start operating in the realm of insecurity, all kinds of things begin to happen. And we're going to look at some of those things. So let me give you the definition of dilemma, and it's on your outline. And tell me if you've not faced one of these or 1,000 of these in your lifetime. Any difficult or perplexing situation or problem. A situation that requires a choice between options that are or seem equally unfavorable. That's a dilemma. A problem that seems to defy a satisfactory solution. Abraham's getting ready to go into facing a dilemma. He was excited about the call of God. He was certain about the call of God. So in Genesis chapter 12, he abandons everything, and he goes out with God. And then along the journey, the weariness and the difficulties and the dilemmas begin to set in. What if some of the dilemmas that you're facing today, what if some of the dilemmas that I'm facing today, what if they're God-ordained? What if they're God-ordained because it's one of those in-between times and God wants us to stay certain of the call because he doesn't want us to move into insecurity? You know, I think we're probably all good at looking around and probably not so good at looking up. And a lot of times we look around and we survey our situation. We look around and we say, that thing doesn't seem to be lining up. That job doesn't seem to be lining up. This thing doesn't seem to be lining up. And we begin to look around when really we should be looking up. And we should be reminding ourselves of the certainty of our call. See, we're talking about faith forward. Your call is certain. You are part of the seed of Abraham. The promise that God made thousands of years ago, you and I are part of the fulfillment of that. And we have to have the certainty of that call today as we had it the day we walked away from everything. The day that you chose to walk away from the ways of the world and the things of the world and walk with God, that is the certainty that we must maintain in this lifetime. But the fact of the matter is we face dilemmas. And when we face these dilemmas, they'll do one of two things for us. I should say, or to us. They'll turn us back to certainty, or they'll turn us toward insecurity. And an insecure person, spiritually speaking, I'm talking about spiritually now. An insecure person spiritually is going to be ineffective in their own walk with God. You can't be effective in your relationship with God if you're insecure. You are a daughter or the son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God handpicked you, God chose you before the foundations of the world. That should be certain to us, and we should be able to walk in that. I wish I could say I always walk in that well, but the fact of the matter is I don't always walk in that well because I've failed. And I've failed, and I've failed, and I've failed, and I'm going to do it again. How well, by the way, do you manage your failures? How good are you at the management of your failures? Do you invest too much time and energy in your failures? Because if you do, you're not going to go forward very easily. We got to be careful about what we do. And so as Abraham is getting ready to face a dilemma in Genesis chapter 16 that we're going to read about, I want us to make some observations about the life of Abraham because there was something that happened, there were things that happened in his life that brought him to Genesis chapter 16, which caused a lot of difficulties in his life. I wrote down something on my outline. I want to read it to you. It's not on yours, but wrote it down this afternoon. One of the great joys of our biblical faith must be the realization that you don't need to hide your failures or your disappointments. What are you covering up that you should be letting others see? One of the great joys of biblical faith must be the realization that you don't need to hide your failures or your disappointments. You believe that's true?
Yes.
Do you live like that's true? I hope we live like that's true. Or, and by the way, this part of it's not in the Bible, or that to be successful, you must string along or string together this link of successes. In order to be successful biblically, you've got to string along this success after success after success. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. That is not biblical. It's not going to happen. It's not realistic. But if we don't understand that, we don't look at that the right way, we're going to have a hard time. And we're going to try to spend a lot of time managing our failures instead of focusing on the future. So I want us to make some observations about the life of Abraham, and then we're going to jump into Genesis chapter 16. Number one is this: when it comes to the dilemmas of life, don't get caught in the undertow of impatience and rationalizing. Don't get caught in the undertow of that. Don't get caught in the undertow of impatience and rationalizing. How many of us have become impatient with the timing of God? We've just said, God, you said it to me. Is it ever going to happen? Is it ever going to happen? Is it ever going to happen? And we get caught in the undertow of that impatience. I was at the beach a couple weeks ago, and the lifeguards put a sign right in the middle of the sand every 30 or 40 feet, and it talked about the undertow. And at one point, people were going out there, and they were braving the waves, and the lifeguard got on his microphone, and he said, just very simply, he said four words: the waves will win. So the sign is up, and the sign is right there, undertow, and then just gets on there: the waves will win. The waves will win. What are the things that are winning in your life because of impatience? See, the lifeguard was, he's been there and he knows it. And so he's trying to tell people that are not listening and not reading the signs. They're becoming impatient. Well, I want to go out there and I want to be out there and I want to do it and I want to do it and I want to do it. And the lifeguard just, the waves will win. What are the waves that are winning in your life because of impatience? See, what we're going to see in Genesis chapter 16 is that Abraham got impatient. He got impatient. And he is beginning to move from certainty of the call. Your offspring is going to be like the dust of the earth. God said that. So God said that, and when God said it the first time, Abraham didn't ask any questions about it. It was good enough for him. But now all of a sudden he's moving because he becomes impatient, and he begins to start rationalizing. And he and his wife begin to rationalize. Well, we probably ought to help God along a little bit. God is moving a little bit slow, and we probably ought to help God along a little bit. You know, this just hit me today, and I thought about it today, and I hadn't thought about it in probably 5 years. 5 years ago today, I was in Mexico doing a wedding, and I'd completely forgotten about it until actually this afternoon, and was a good friend of ours, and I had watched them grow up, and she asked me, would I fly to Mexico and do their wedding? And I remember 5 years ago being on the beach in Mexico doing the wedding and being unemployed, not having a job, just thinking, wow, Lord, you told me to close my church down a year and a few months ago, and I don't have a job. And I'm on the beach, and of course they paid for me to go, so that I was all happy to go. But I'm on the beach, and I'm thinking, I don't have a job. 105 days later, I was going to have a job at Faith Bible Chapel. 105 days later, I came on staff at Faith Bible Chapel, but it was 20 years before that that God told me that I would be on staff at Faith Bible Chapel. It was 20 years before that. And I had been ordained in 1991 at Faith Bible Chapel and had been at Faith Bible Chapel North as an associate pastor, but my dream was to be on staff at Faith Bible Chapel. It was my dream. And 5 years ago today, I was standing on the beach thinking, I don't even have a job, God. What in the world? I know you spoke that to me. And so I was just reflecting today about what impatience did during that time. What is impatience doing in your life? Because impatience often leads to rationalization. We begin to rationalize that, boy, maybe I ought to help God out a little bit. And so I put a question on your outline: in what areas of your life are you being impatient? You must identify that. See, because if you don't identify it, if you don't let it hang out and look at it, some things should hang out, some things shouldn't hang out. Let those things be seen so you can really see them. What are the things you're being impatient about? Because God's going to show us in His Word the things that Abraham's being impatient about. Let's look first at Genesis chapter 15, verses 2 through 5. So fast forward a little bit from Genesis chapter 13. Abraham, maybe he's 82. Maybe he's 82 and a half. Maybe he's 82 and three quarters, or like 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. 3 7/8. Maybe he's 82 7/8. Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And no one will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. So here's another seed. Here's another seed that God is planting. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up to the heavens and count the stars. So before it was the dust, the sand, and now it's the stars. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Here's another seed. See, Abraham was moving from certainty, and you begin to see the stress cracks of insecurity. Are you able to recognize the stress cracks of insecurity? Has God said something to you and hasn't come to pass, and the stress cracks of insecurity are beginning to show, so you're thinking you need to respond to the insecurities? Don't respond to the insecurities. Respond to the certainty of what God has said. That is what we must do. If we're going to maintain a faith forward, we have to respond with certainty to that which God said. I felt like in my heart that God said, and matter of fact, it was 30 years ago, actually, that I felt like God told me I would be on staff at Faith Bible Chapel. It didn't actually come out in those words necessarily. I just saw myself 30-something years ago when we were on the east side and the pastor was preaching. Bob Hooley, the founder of Faith Bible Chapel, was preaching. I felt like one day I would be up on that platform teaching. I didn't know in what capacity, but I remember chewing myself out at that time because I remember thinking, who do you think you are? But I just remember God had planted a seed in my heart. And I remember the very first time I ever stepped on that platform, and it just hit me like a flood, and I was overwhelmed with the reality of the seed that God had planted 20-something years ago was fulfilled. And then 5 years ago, I'm standing on the beach in Mexico thinking, I don't have a job, God. And if I would have been able to just remind myself of the certainty, maybe you have to remind yourself of the certainty of what God said yesterday. Maybe you need to remind yourself of the certainty of what God said 25 years ago or 30 years ago to you. Because if not, you're going to get caught in the undertow of the impatience and the rationalizing. I'm having a hard time with that word today. Rationalizing. That was better. Say that was better. Thank you. Was it really better? Sounded better. Came out better. So, where are you being impatient? Write something down. Okay, let me give you number two. We've been talking about it all night. Abraham is drifting from certainty to insecurity. How do we know? Let's read the Bible. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant. So probably when he was down in Egypt during the famine, they not only got gold and silver and cattle, but obviously servants as well. He had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarah had said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, so maybe he's 85 now, do the math, left at 75, he's in Canaan 10 years, maybe a little bit of time in Egypt, maybe he's 86. Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar, gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abram, You are responsible for the wrong that I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now she knows she is pregnant, and she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your servant is in your hands. How many of you know this is a big dilemma? He thought he had the dilemma before. Now he's got a real big dilemma on his hands. Abram said, Do whatever you think is best. Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarah, Where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarah, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. So what happened to Abram? What happened from the time that he received the certainty of his call in Genesis chapter 12 as a 75-year-old, and then he heard God planting seeds? Abram, your seed is going to multiply like the sand or the dust, like the stars. And then all of a sudden, you just see him moving along a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And all of a sudden, that certainty is turning into insecurity. I wonder how well we are, how good we are, I should say, at recognizing that. How good are we at recognizing when insecurity begins to set in? I think really what it comes down to is we've got to maintain the lure of the cause. We've got to maintain the lure of the cause that God has called us, that God will never leave us, and God will never forsake us. But if we begin to become impatient and we begin to rationalize things in our own minds, we will drift from certainty into insecurity. And as a result of that, Abraham opened up a whole can and a whole thing, a whole system of years of issues. And we can read about it. We read about the struggles that are real today in the world because of the choices that Abraham made. And I wonder if because of impatience, we oftentimes open doors up that God never wanted us to open in the first place. You ever thought about that? God, help me to be patient. Lord, help me to be patient and know if you've said it, you'll do it. I don't want to move from certainty to insecurity. How many of you know what that feels like? You know what it feels like when you're certain that you've heard from God, and then you also know what it feels like when you just feel like you're insecure. And did God really say that? Should I really do that? And we kind of waver between two opinions, and it becomes a very difficult challenge for us. So let me give you number three. Number three, we're making some observations about the life of Abraham. Certainly he became impatient and he was rationalizing. Then he's drifting from certainty into insecurity. And as a result of that, made some very unwise choices. And number three is this. Here's an observation we make. We must learn to wait. Learn to wait, which is often mastered in solitude and low light. I wrote that for a reason. Learning to wait is often mastered in solitude and in low light. It's mastered when we can't see perfectly clear. It's mastered when everything is not perfectly outlined for us. That's where we master waiting on the Lord. And often it's going back to the certainty of what we know that God has already said. If we could just get better at holding on to the certainty of what God has already said, it will help us during those in-between times. Because those in-between times are the times of greatest growth. They're the times of greatest growth, and we're in the in-between times. It's not necessarily the high. It's not necessarily the low. It's when we're climbing up and we're powering up the mountain and we're trying to do it, and we're trying to do it, and we can't see perfectly clearly. I decided to try something when we were on vacation, and I tried it because I was challenged by one of the friends of mine on staff here, and he said to me, you should rent a bike when you're on vacation. You should try to ride your bike up this volcano while you're gone. And I thought, well, that sounds like a pretty good idea. And so I rented a bike, and I'm up usually early in the morning anyway, and so I took the bike apart, and I put it in the back of the car, and I left the condo at 2 o'clock in the morning. I thought, I gotta drive to the place, I gotta take the bike out, I gotta put the bike together, and then I gotta start up this mountain, which is 30 miles up. It's all uphill. So I remember getting out, and I put the bike together, and I think by the time I actually started really riding, it was like 3:45. So it's still pitch dark out, and I start riding up this road, and I'm feeling pretty good, and I get about 5 miles up the road. That's a long ways on a bike when you're going uphill. And I get about 5 miles, and I'm starting to think, I don't feel like I'm in the right place. Never been there before, but I don't feel like I'm in the right place. You know, sometimes we got to trust that. Sometimes you just have to trust when you feel like you're not in the right place and do something about it. So I finally decided to do something about it. I finally realized I could go another mile up and hope something changes, or I could just jump off my bike and flag somebody down in the middle of the night. So I jumped off my bike, and it's still dark out, and I see a car coming up the road, and I start waving my hands. And this nice lady named Jubilee pulls over, and she probably thinks I'm out of my mind. And I said, "Jubilee, I'm trying to get to the top of this volcano. Am I on the right road?" She said, "No, you're not." And here's what I blamed it on. I blamed it on the low light. I thought if it would have been lighter out, if it would have been a little bit lighter out, and I would have seen the signs a little more clearly. I'd never been there before. So I put all this energy and this effort into and getting up, and then I had to turn around and I had to come 5 miles back down before I could even start actually what I wanted to start. If I would have just waited until it was light, that's what the guy at the bike shop told me to do. The guy at the bike shop said, he said, "Start about 6 o'clock. It's probably going to take you 6 or 7 hours to get up there." And I got very impatient. So 2 o'clock, I'm wide awake, and I thought, I'll just get an earlier start on it. And I didn't wait. And because I didn't wait, I spent a lot of energy and I spent a lot of time. And I think unless we learn to wait, truly learn to wait, not talk about waiting, but truly learn to wait on the Lord and understand where we're going to master that waiting. We're going to master it in solitude when maybe nobody else is around and we're just waiting on the promises of God. And maybe in the low light, we're just waiting for it to get just a little bit lighter before we start making decisions. But waiting is not always easy. I think Abraham found himself in a dilemma. That's why we have Genesis chapter 16. "God, you've said this to me, but you know, I'm 86 years old now. God, you said this to me some 20 or 30 years ago, and don't you know I'm not getting any younger, Lord? Don't you know, God, don't you know, God? Yeah, he knows. Say, he knows. He really knows. He really, really knows. So light's required when you're waiting on the Lord. And if you don't have the light, don't go. Don't go. I appreciated Jubilee. I think her name was significant. I turned around and I went back down the hill, and I so much more enjoyed that ride when it was light out. That first hour, I couldn't see anything. Only thing I saw was an owl. That was the only thing I saw was an owl fly off a telephone pole. I couldn't see any of the trees. I couldn't see anything because I was trying to ride in the dark. So how you doing with that? How you doing with learning to wait? Because I said 5 years ago today I was on the beach, I was reflecting back to that. And I was asking myself, how was I doing 5 years ago? I wasn't doing so well. I had been unemployed for a little over a year, and I kept thinking, "God, I have a responsibility to my family. And I'm in Mexico, and I'm doing a wedding, and I'm not working, and I'm having a hard time with this." Little did I know that 105 days later, everything was going to change for me. And I was going to get a call from Pastor George, and he was going to say, "Hey, how about coming on staff at Faith Bible Chapel?" Ooh, that was a happy day for me. 105 days prior to that, I just needed to wait for the right amount of light. Needed to wait for the right timing. You just need to wait for the right amount of light. You need to wait for the right timing. God knows about timing. We got to trust that. Say, yes, we do. Say, yes, we do. We have to trust it. So, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. So every day, Abraham wakes up. And every day, he's got a son. But it's not the son that God had promised that his seed would be multiplied through. When Abraham was 99 years old, so we do the math, God said, "Abraham, I want you to leave." He said that at 75 and started planting seeds at 75, but he waited 24 years before it was actually going to happen. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." So here comes the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham 25 years later. 25 years later, but because of impatience and because of rationalizing, because of moving from certainty to insecurity, not being willing to wait on the Lord, all kinds of things begin to happen that didn't need to happen. I came across this quote today by Charles de Gaulle, and it said this: "A person of character finds a special attractiveness in difficulty, since it's only by coming to grips with difficulty that we can realize our potential. Let me read that one more time. A person of character finds a special attractiveness in difficulty, since it's only by coming to grips with difficulty that we can realize our full potential. Is it possible that we are in the season or situation that we're in right now because God wants us to come to grips with our difficulty because he wants to do something in our character? And that's about the faith forward. See, God was doing amazing things in Abraham's life, but he had to wait. God wasn't in a hurry. And if he would have just waited on the Lord, then he wouldn't have had to move into that season of insecurity where, well, we better help God out. Sarah sounds good. Let's do it. And I wonder how many times I've done that. And I've jumped ahead of the Lord, and I've jumped ahead of the Lord. Now, here's what I love about God and the faithfulness of God. And I said it at the very beginning of the message. The past is meant to be fertilizer for the future. So the key is we just have to learn from it. We have to learn from the past. And that's why we're reading about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way through Genesis chapter 22, where we'll get in a few weeks, where Abraham has to lay down the promise named Isaac, and he has to be willing to sacrifice the promise. All of these things God lays out in Scripture. Why? Because it's during these in-between times that God does his greatest work. Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 27, verses 13 through 14. I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Learning to wait patiently for the Lord is difficult to do. It's difficult to do. All of us have wanted God to do something yesterday. Isn't that true? Or the day before. Number four. Let me just give you a couple more and we'll finish up here. Number four. Expect the fire of delayed answers. Read a book once, and I taught a Bible college class on it, called The Fire of Delayed Answer, and it was one of the best books I've read because it came at a season in my life when I needed to read it. The fact of the matter is, most every person in the Bible had a delay they had to deal with. And so we have to expect in our lives the fire of a delayed answer. In other words, there are promises that God will speak and there are things that God will say, and then the fire of the delay comes. And the fire of the delay comes not to consume us and not to destroy us, but to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble and the things in our life that God wants burned off. And so we have to learn to expect the fire of a delayed answer. Why did God say something to Abraham in the very beginning? God, why didn't you just wait until he was 99 to say it? Why set him up? Why set him up? Don't say something to me, Lord. Please don't say something to me 25 years early. I don't like that. How many of you are with me? God, when you say it to me, I think you mean tomorrow. So please don't say anything to me that's 25 years out. That's hard on the heart. But God did it. And part of the reason God did it is part of the reason that he does it today. We have to expect that the fire of a delayed answer will do something on the inside of us. When God speaks something to you and then he allows a delay, and he allowed a delay in Abraham's life, and he's allowed delays in your life, when God speaks something and then he allows the delay, let the delay do its work. Let the delay do the work that God expects to do. Don't get mad at God. And listen, I'm talking to myself. 5 years ago today, I'm on the beach. I don't have a job, God, and I'm in Mexico. What in the world? I was glad to be there, but I was having a hard time with it. Oh, if I could have rested. If I knew then what I knew today. How many of us could say that about yesterday, last week, last month? Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 19. God also said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. Can you imagine this conversation? He's 100 years old now, 99 years old. I will bless her so that she will become the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down and he laughed. And he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under the blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. Don't laugh at the fire of the delayed answers. Don't laugh. If God allows the delays to come, then there's a timing issue, and the waiting and the patience are key. They're part of the seeds that need to be planted in our heart to grow so that as God does his work, when the time comes, we're ready for it. Are you expecting the delays? Because if we don't learn to expect the delays, we'll get disappointed and we'll stay disappointed. I know that there are things that God has spoken to my heart. I know that there are. And I know that there's still things to come in the future for my family and for my sons and other things and for my wife and for myself and for you and for all of us. But if we don't understand the process, and that's why we're making some observations tonight, can we learn some of these things? I don't want to get caught in the undertow of impatience. The waves will win. And sometimes the waves of life, when they just beat on you and beat on you and beat on you and beat on you, they drag you down. So read the signs. We got to read the signs. So how are you responding to the delays in your life? How are you responding to those delays? I just want to close with one final point and maybe help us to understand what we do when we find ourselves moving from certainty to insecurity. And we begin to see the symptoms of that. If you don't see them yourself, have somebody point them out to you. Have somebody that you trust point them out to you. Are you insecure about the season you're in right now? Step back and trust the certainty of God's call. Step back and trust the certainty of who God says he is and that God said he would be faithful. So number five is this. Number five is this. Recognize, key to so much of this, recognize the need for the wisdom of God, then seek it out. Recognize the need for the wisdom of God, and then seek it out. See, the solution when drifting from certainty to insecurity is wisdom, not answers. Let me say that again. When the solution, that is, when we're drifting, and sometimes when you're drifting, you don't even realize you're drifting. Sometimes you're just laying there relaxing, and all of a sudden you're 100 yards down the beach, and you didn't even realize it. The solution when you're drifting from certainty to insecurity is wisdom, not answers. Because as all of us know, we don't always get the answers. We ask God, and we don't get the answer, but what God says, if we ask for, we will receive every single time is wisdom. So sometimes it's the wisdom, and most often it's the wisdom of God that we need and not the answer. Because in the wisdom of God, we come back to the certainty of who God is. And here's what James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now notice these four words. Underline these four words. So let it grow. Say, so let it grow. We have to let it grow. I planted my tomato plants last Friday. I went out today. There's still no tomatoes on them. There won't be any tomatoes tomorrow or the next day or the next day, but I'm going to keep watering them because pretty soon they're going to be as tall as my deck, and I'm going to put the tomato cages on them, and I'm going to eat tomatoes until they're coming out not literally, but I'm going to eat tomatoes till I have sores in my mouth. So let it grow. Say, so let it grow. We got to let it grow. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfected and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, say, I need wisdom. So here's what you do. Ask our generous God. Ooh, that's good. Ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Oh, I love that. So he's not going to rebuke me if I ask him for wisdom today, tomorrow, the next day, or 10 times today. He's not going to rebuke me. Not only will he not rebuke me, he's going to give it to me. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Not into the uncertainty, not in the fear, not in the impatience, but that my faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. So let it grow. And the way that we let it grow is what we ask God for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. So if you're in that season and you've been certain, but you feel like you're moving into insecurity, what do? You can ask for an answer. You may get it, but you may not. But here's what you know for sure. You can ask for wisdom and you'll get it every time. What would have happened if Abraham would ask God for wisdom? God, give me wisdom. I'm 86 years old. I don't have a baby yet. Give me wisdom. We don't see God. We don't see Abraham asking. He didn't ask God. Nowhere in the Bible did he ask God. Give me wisdom, God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. I'm going to have the team come back up here. Worship team, come back up here. Let me close with this portion of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 3. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she, this is talking about wisdom, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who will embrace her. Those who will lay a hold of her will be blessed. So, what's the observation that we need to make in conclusion? A person of character finds special attractiveness in difficulty, since it's only by coming to grips with difficulty that we can realize our potential. Part of what God wants to happen in this fire of delayed answer and these seasons that we're going through is God wants us to see the potential that He sees in us. That's what God wants.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.